call out to Him for protection from harm. The time that is passing away. Hey, we know not the day and we know not the hour. But He tells us in Matthew to watch and to pray.
Thank you, Josh and Amanda. That was excellent. Thank you very, very much. My quarter did not get in the offering. I forgot about that. So we'll put it in the love offering at the end. Amen. Thank you, Josh and Amanda. I did mention, I failed to mention Sherry Lowe was here tonight. I was talking about Jason and Heather. And Sherry, it was here with her dad tonight. Sherry, good to see you. And glad that they're okay down there. And hopefully they'll be okay through Hurricane Jose. All right, our ushers have tonight what I want to give you. I'm very, very excited to be able to put this in your hands this evening. And this has been something that I know some of you have asked for over the years or recommended it might be a good thing to have. And it was a summer-long project in our office, but we have a book for you tonight, a booklet with the pictures, names, and places of service for all the missionaries that we support. And I'd like to give one to every family tonight, okay? One to every household. So fellas, you come with them and make them available, one per household, okay? Now kids, we have to just start with one per household and we'll see how far these go. We'll make them available next Sunday morning. But and this, a lot of these pictures, they're as current as we could get from the missionaries. And from the time that the booklet was started until the time that it was printed, of course, some of those missionary families became expecting another child. You know that you understand it's ongoing, okay? And there are places in the back for future additions to our missionary program. We'll be printing up some sticky labels that you'll be able to put in this. Take a moment, if you would, and read through this page of a letter from myself at the beginning. Do it later on, please, not now, all right? But I gave several suggestions on maybe how to use this booklet in the future, in your home, around the table at night, family altar, to keep you abreast of our missionary families and keep praying for them. So please, I'm thrilled to give this to you. Something else. Oh, yes, I thought there was going to be a legend in here, but I didn't find one. You will see on some of the pictures the little logo that Ryan designed for Faith Baptist Church some years ago. Those are on the pictures of missionaries who are either man or wife was raised here in this church, okay? So that you'll see that every now and again as you flip through the pages of the book. Please, now, I gave it to you before the service started, all right? So put it aside, all right? I gave it to you now. Look, either wait till the end and give it to you, or give it to you now, make you feel good about me because of what I'm about to preach. I need you to enjoy me, all right? So I'm just teasing. All right, that's a blessing, isn't it? You don't realize how many hours of work that is, okay? That's an immense amount of time, and we appreciate the ladies that put that together for us this summer. So take it home, use it, and we'll give them out next Sunday, and if, I don't want them laying around, so over the next several weeks, we may be able to give out extras to maybe teenagers, older teenagers, and so forth. All right. College students, now, you should get one, okay? So you college young people, you get one. That'll be helpful. 1 Kings 17 tonight. 1 Kings 17, and I did not necessarily plan on purpose to be in another chapter 17 as we've been. In fact, we were in this chapter at the very beginning of the summer. I think this was the first chapter 17 I preached from in this Summer of 17 series on Sunday morning. And if you were not in the service this morning, we finished in John chapter 17. But in 1 Kings 17, I want to speak for a little bit tonight on the subject of missions as we find it here in this great story. And for sake of time, I'm going to preach verses 8 through 16. We're a little bit later getting into the message. It's okay. I don't think it'll be a lengthy message. And I want you to come to the conference, okay? And that's why I've tried to design these services at night to get in, get our hearts blessed, and get going, not waste any time, all right? So be faithful. But I'm going to preach on this widow at Zarephath and how a widow learned to give. How a widow learned to give. And I know many of you are familiar with the story, so I'll take that as good enough, and then we'll get into the details of it in the message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may you help us tonight as we look at this important matter in the Bible. And Lord, these days, just thank you for them and speak to our hearts. And Lord, help us to first give ourselves to you. Like Paul talked about the people in the churches at Macedonia, they first gave themselves to you. May we do that at the very beginning of this meeting. It all will be well. We'll thank you in Christ's name and amen. There is no command, there is nothing unimportant about the life of a Christian. There's nothing important in the ministry, unimportant in the ministry of a church. But there are a couple of things that take on added importance in the ministry of a church and in our Christian life. Sending the gospel, going global with the gospel, sending the gospel to the world is one such element of extreme importance. Nothing is unimportant, but this is an element of extreme importance. These days that we have on our church calendar, not just the mission conference days, I'm talking about the Wednesday nights when we have deputation missionaries in. I'm talking about once in a while on Sunday evenings when we have our furloughing missionaries come in to report on their work. And the missions conference, all of it adds up and helps us emphasize this vital part of our church ministry. And missions is a vital part for a number of reasons. And one of those reasons is that missions touches on some of the things that are dearest to our hearts. Missions involves our children. I didn't know Brother Putman was going to say what he did tonight in his testimony. But it is likely in a church that emphasizes missions that God reaches down from time to time and touches the heart of one of our young people to surrender to the cause of Christ in the area of missions. That's not unusual. And there's nothing dearer to the heart of a parent than your children. And we have dreams for our kids, but listen very carefully, no parental dream has ever done more to bring satisfaction to the heart of a child like obeying the will of God brings them. And I say that on purpose. Because sometimes I feel like parents interfere with God's will because of your personal dreams for your children. You know, one of the reasons I wanted our teenagers to see Brother McClure's presentation was not about the island of Saipan, Palau. Did I say it right? Yes, I get it there. Okay. That's not really what I wanted them to see. What I wanted them to hear was a young man, the testimony of a young man who was at peace because he was in God's will for his life. And he'd said, I can't remember everything he said, but he said he didn't need the media. And he didn't need, I think it was wealth. Is that the two things you said? I'm sorry?
The world.
He didn't need the media, and he didn't need the world to be at peace with himself. Because he knew God's purpose for his life, and he was living it, and that produced the peace. And boy, that was powerful. That's the truth. Parents, don't interfere with God's will for your children. Don't interfere with God's will, because they'll never be more satisfied, content, and blessed than in the middle, the very center of God's will. Missions conference meetings provide good opportunities for parents to give up their kids to the will of God. So it speaks to our hearts, to the things that are dear. It speaks about things that are very dear to our heart. It involves our children. And then the other thing that missions conference touches that is dear to our hearts is money. Now, you can get real pious on me and say, no, Pastor, it's all God's money, and I have no problem with that. But the truth is, money is dear to your heart. Money is dear to my heart. Money is dear to everybody's heart. So missions conference touches on giving up your life, giving up your kids, and giving up your money, if you want to look at it that way, things that are dear to our hearts. And this is what missions conference touches, okay? This story in chapter 17 of 1 Kings deals with both, because this woman gave up her son. She really did. She gave up her son, and she gave up her living, and God gave them back to her in grand style. So this is a story about God's care for the prophet, but it is also a story about a widow's giving and what God taught a widow about giving and how a widow learned to give. And let me say three things tonight about this, and we'll be done. First of all, there must be a man of God to teach it. There must be a man of God to teach it. This woman was out gathering sticks to start a fire so she could cook her and her son's last meal. Now Elijah approaches her, and look at verse number 10. The Bible says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, the one that God told him about, gathering of sticks, and he called unto her and said, first word, fetch me. You know what he was saying? The first words from his mouth were give. Give. Fetch me, verse number 10, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel. First thing out of his mouth was give. Now, folks, this is not what the widow preferred to do. She preferred to go cook the cake and eat it with her son. And this prophet of God comes along and messes up her day, messes up her plan, messes up her program by telling her to give away what she had. Give. And it's not just money. It's also, as I mentioned earlier, our children. Give it up. Give it up. But he didn't just tell her to give away what she had. He did tell her to give away her cake, but he also promised her that God would take care of her in return. God would meet her needs in return. And God was teaching this woman a great lesson about giving. What did she want to give? Well, friends, she didn't want to give anything. What could she afford to give? Well, in her mind, she couldn't afford to give anything. But the question came down to, what could she trust God to do for her if she obeyed the Lord? And that's what you and I have to come down to. You know, what do we want to give? If we respond in our human, from our human nature, we don't want to give anything. We want to get all we can. What can we afford to give? A majority of folks in this church might say, I can't afford to give anything. But the bottom line is, what do we trust God to do for us so that we can obey Him in this matter? And this prophet's not trying to be a burden to her. God is using this prophet to be a blessing to her. And the bottom line is, people have to be taught to give. If giving is not taught, most people won't be challenged to do it. I talked about that Wednesday night briefly in the lesson here. We're supposed to grow in grace. And one of the ways, areas we're supposed to grow in grace is in the area of giving. But we do not do that naturally. We have to be constantly challenged from God's word to be what we ought to be, do what we ought to do in the area of giving. It takes a man of God to teach other people about giving. And folks, can I tell you this? It takes men of God to teach other men of God about giving. Do you know there are pastors who are fearful of having a missions program because they feel that their offerings will hurt and suffer if their people give to Faith Promise Missions? That's what they feel. They're afraid of starting a missions program. What is it going to do to the general fund of our church? Well, I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to hurt it. It never has hurt the general fund of the churches. And, you know, to see pastors come to the realization of the blessings of giving to missions is a joy. And, there are churches giving to missions now, and I'm talking about large sums of money, that at one time were just tipping to missions. The result, the way it happened was a man of God went in and taught him about it. I was telling my mother, she came out for lunch after church this morning, and she reminded me of some of the missions conferences that I was in as a boy. And when I was lost, I was not saved. And I have some faint memories of those missions conferences. I could have a lot more. They probably had more influence on me than I realized. But I told her that after I got saved, for the first 14 years of my life after I got saved, I was not in a church that had Faith Promise Giving. I went 4 years to Bible college where they had no Faith Promise Missions program. I was 10 years in Iowa. We had no Faith Promise Missions program. The church gave to missionaries out of the budget, out of the general fund. But there was no emphasis on giving to missions. Until I came here, this church already had a Faith Promise program, but because of all the problems that were going on here when I came back in 1990, we owed more going out than we were taking in to missions giving. We were having to make up out of the general fund sometimes as much as $600, $700, $800 a month, which we really didn't have a whole lot of in those days, to be honest with you. I look back on that and I marvel how God did all that. I just marvel. So to be honest with you, I got a little tired of that. I got a little tired of having to come up with $600, $700, $800 out of general fund to try to give to the missionaries to make sure we supported the missionaries that we had promised we would support. And I don't remember exactly, but I'm almost certain that I called Tim Starr. And I said, "Brother, can you help me?" And he sent me a book by John Halsey, who at that time was with BIMI on the subject of Faith Promise Missions Giving. And then I called Jim Vineyard. And Jim Vineyard came to our first missions conference here when I was the pastor. And I think he came for the first 13 years, year after year, back when we had them in January and February, God forbid. You remember that? Tell me that this is not much better, amen, than January, February. Brother Vineyard came. And you know, folks, the honest truth of the matter is, I was going back and reflecting, did a little look up at some of my notes in my archive sermons. And, I even had forgotten what really happened here when the man of God came and began to teach our church, which was growing at that time, about Faith Promise Missions Giving. You know, in 1995, we took on 13 missionary families. You know, there was a year or two after that, we took on 15 missionary families in 1 year. And the church began to give, and the church began to give, and our missions program just began to grow and grow and grow. You know what it was a result of? It was a result of a man of God coming in and teaching us about it. Now, time goes on. And Brother Brown is still pastoring out in Iowa. And Brother Brown calls me and he says, "Terry," he says, "look," he said, "you know, we gave to missionaries here out of the general fund, but we never have had Faith Promise Missions. Could you please come out and spend a Sunday and teach us about Faith Promise Missions?" And I think it was a couple of Sunday nights, a couple of different times. I went out there and introduced the concept of Faith Promise Missions to them and preached that message on first century missions giving. And that church began to give to Faith Promise Giving and missions. And now, they have a strong missions program. And neither church has suffered financially. You don't when you obey God in the area of giving to missions. Now, look, it's the result. And then at the same time, as giving began to be emphasized and people began to give, kids started surrendering to the field. And at this point in time right now, we have three of our quote-unquote kids, they're young adults are married now, who are on deputation. Now, I don't wear a sign, you know, introducing myself as man of God. I don't think about it. I don't think of myself in those terms. I don't know if I even qualify for being called a man of God. Samuel was called a man of God in the Old Testament. I don't think I could tie his shoelaces. I mean that. But I am called of God. And I am placed here as a pastor. And I am not fearful of teaching you about giving both your kids and your money to the cause of Christ and missions. And through the years, thankfully, our church has responded. Now, I don't know, it's been a while since we've taken on 15 missionaries or 13 missionaries in a calendar year, but every year we've been able to take on 4, 5, 6. And you know, I always told you, it'd be nice someday to have 200 missionaries out of Faith Baptist Church. And I believe, as I was looking through that booklet and counting up things, that we have exceeded that now. And that doesn't count the missionaries supported by our Spanish church upstairs. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm simply saying that giving is the result of being taught Bible principles. She had to be taught to give. That's not what she wanted. That's not what she intended that morning. It was the last thing on her mind to give that cake away. Come on. The last thing on her mind. But he taught her about the promises of God and taught her about giving. There must be a man of God to teach it. How a widow learned to give. There must be a man of God to teach it. Number two, there must be a people willing to carry it out. There must be a people willing to carry it out. Look at verse number 15, where the Bible says, Elijah gave her the command, give, and gave her the promise. In verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house, pardon me, did eat many days. So she went and did according to what she had been taught. She was willing to do what the man had taught. And folks, that's where it really all begins. I mentioned that on Wednesday night, the close of the lesson there, about our attitude toward giving and how important that is. But if we don't have a willing heart coming into this thing, we're not going to get off the ground. You'll never get off the ground when it comes to giving to missions if you don't have some sort of a willing heart. And some people just don't have it. Just don't have it. You know, look, people, I am not attempting to bleed you dry financially. I'm not going to hound you, you know, I'm hound you to make a promise that causes you to go without food or causes you to eat beans and soup the rest of your life. There's no joy in seeing people live on a poverty level. But listen very carefully. You know, I appreciate men that God has used to teach in the area of finances, but some of that teaching, some of these programs totally eliminate the matter of faith or trust in God. Just totally eliminate it. You know, and their advice is get yourself on solid financial standing and then give. That sounds reasonable. Until you read the example of giving in the Bible. Hello? And the example of giving in the Bible doesn't fit that. Doesn't fit it. This woman's on solid financial standing. She's on stable ground. Those people in those churches of Macedonia were on solid financial footing. You know, get yourself on solid financial standing and then really start this matter of giving. But folks, you know what? I think along the way, God's people ought to learn to sacrifice a little while you're in the process of solidifying your position financially. I think, in fact, you'll go a long ways toward enhancing your financial standing if you trust God and give. I'm not talking about being foolish. I've told you before, first VU we had here back in 1995. There was a single parent in the church in those days, and I think they just got excited about the concept of giving to the building and getting a new auditorium to be in together. The old auditorium was so covered up and full, and when we took the commitments for giving, that single parent had put on there with some children and just trying to stay afloat financially, had put on that commitment card $250 a week. Now, you may not like what I did, but I did not even consider that. I didn't count that in the commitment, because it was absolutely just, it was impossible for that single parent with kids to give $250 a week. Nobody's asking anybody to do that. But I'll tell you something. While you're trying to get yourself on solid financial footing, it doesn't hurt you to give $2.50 a week. Doesn't hurt you to give $5 a week. And I understand we have people in this church that no doubt use every dime, every penny that comes into the coffers. But you sacrifice a little bit along the way, maybe doing without some things that you don't really need. Hey, you know what, folks? Let me just be honest with you. Some are on unstable financial footing and you spend inordinate amounts of dollars and cents on animals, on pets. And I'm not against a pet. I think everybody ought to have a bunch of them and then get over it and never have another one. That's what we did. We had all kinds of things. Rabbits, dogs. Did we ever have a cat? Oh, my. Guinea pigs. It's just crazy. But we've been pet free, thank the Lord, for a long time. Some folks are on unstable financial footing and they spend unbelievable amounts of money on food, eating out, fast food. Fast food. Now, I'm not against a pet. And I'm not against fast food. But folks, spending money on pets and spending money on fast food does not have the potential to be a financial blessing to you. But giving to God through a missions program has potential to be a huge financial blessing to you. It really does. There must be a people willing to carry out what the man of God teaches them. Yeah, Pastor, I don't have much to give, and what I have to give is so little it won't amount to a hill of beans. Not if God is in it. Not if God's in it. We sang that song tonight, little as much is God when God is in it. Let me ask you a question. How many cakes did she have? One. That's all. And in the grand scheme of things, you think that was really going to satisfy Elijah's hunger? You have teenage boys that could eat 15 pancakes. You got one cake. So in the grand scheme of things, what she had to offer really didn't amount to that much until God got in it. Man, how she benefited from giving that one cake. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I should probably have some of you folks get up and give a testimony about what Faith Promise Giving has meant to you through these years. And you would hear stories of how God has blessed people because they were willing to trust Him in this area of giving to missions. There has to be, there must be a man of God to teach it. Number two, there must be a people willing to carry it out. And let me say number three tonight, there is a God in heaven to supply it. There's a God in heaven to supply it. You see that in verses 15 and 16, where she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. I love verse 16, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. As she needed it, the meal and the oil was supplied. Now, church, I don't think the barrel and the cruse were always brimful. Do you? I don't believe that. Now, that's how we would like it to be, to give. We'd love for the barrel to be full and the cruse to be brim full. And the pastor says we need to take on these missionary families and we need people to give. Oh, yeah, no problem, Pastor. That'd be easy. At least we think it would be easy. The truth of the matter is, sometimes the more you get, the harder it is to part with it. It's almost easier to part with it when you have little. No, the barrel was not always brimful. The cruise was not always brimful. God's promise was that the barrel and the cruise, it was not that the barrel and the cruise would be full. His promise is that it would never be empty. It would never fail. And sometimes God tests us. Sometimes it looks like the barrel is getting empty, and sometimes it looks like the cruise is getting empty. But folks, it will. God's promise is it will never fail. How I have seen God be faithful to my barrel and my cruise in giving to missions these years. I won't tell you what I give to missions weekly. But I give more than my house payment was over a month. I didn't start out at that. But little by little by little by little by little over 27 years or 20, whatever, how many years it's been here now, I started giving to missions when I came here, even though we didn't have a missions conference. So it has been 27 years. Then Brother Vineyard came and I really got involved in it. And you know, there would be times in our life financially when I would see a little extra come in and I would see that we got started to build a little bit, and I began to think to myself, oh man, this thing is starting to add up, only to get hit by some expense. Some big expense that took almost everything we had. How about everything that God had put there? The barrel never was empty. The cruise never failed. Young couples, I don't think you could learn any greater lesson in life than to learn that God makes good on His word. I'm not talking about you getting wealthy. I'm talking about the barrel not being empty. Hey, I'm normal. I was talking with Brother Maxwell here. Maybe it was Wednesday night. I asked Brother Maxwell how his job was going. Were they harvesting test plots? And he said, yeah, we've started harvesting test plots down in Kentucky. And I said, how's the job? And he says, pray for me. He said, I lost another salesman. I said, oh man, because I knew he lost some earlier this year. He said, yeah, a company came along and offered him $25,000 more than we were paying him. $25,000 more. And then Brother Maxwell said what he was paying his salesman. And then the other company gave him $25,000 more for a young man just graduated from college, first year, to sell seed corn. I'm human. It was more than I make now. After 37 years of ministry. I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. But that guy makes more in his first year selling seed corn. Now I'm not, and this church takes care of me. It's not about getting wealthy. You know what I've learned? The barrel will not fail. The cruise will not fail. God doesn't always promise it's brim full. But He's promised when you need it, it'll be there. And it has been. It has been. There has to be a man of God to teach it. There has to be a people willing to carry it out. And there is a God in heaven who will supply it. Missions touches and tugs our hearts about the things that are dearest to us. It touches and tugs on our hearts concerning our kids. It touches and tugs on our hearts concerning our money. Those things are so dear to us. But people, if we keep things that are dear to us for us, we'll lose them. Was this boy dear to this woman? Was that cake dear to her? She literally gave them both up. But because she did, she got them back. and much more. Much more. How a widow woman learned to give. There had to be a man of God to teach it. There had to be a people willing to carry it out. There is a God in heaven to supply it. If you're not giving, if you've never started giving to Faith Promise Missions, I would encourage you. You know, I hope you're working, you young couples, I hope you're working your way to sound financial footing. I hope that, but I hope you won't wait until the day comes that you've got X all stacked up and now I can start. I hope that you'll sacrifice now and learn that in doing so, the barrel will never be empty and the cruise will never fail. That's God's promise. Let's pray together tonight. Thank you, church, for listening. Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to go to this passage once again. And once again, Lord, draw some truths out of it. And Lord, it's more than just a story recorded. It's lessons for life. It's lessons for our Christian life. And I pray that you'll please take them and help us tonight, Lord. And I pray for our church that once again, we will respond and we'll carry out what the Word of God teaches us about giving. And God, we know from experience, many people in this room know from experience that there is a God in heaven who will supply the need. There are days when it may seem like the barrel is getting a little dry or empty, or the crew's a little dry, but it will never fail because you promised. So help us to step out and trust you, and help us, Lord, to give our kids up to your plan and your will for their life. May we not interfere with what you want for them so that they can live in the perfect center of your will. And we'll thank you for it. Speak to us again these days. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Church, it touches on the things that are dearest to your heart, your children and your money. Let's make sure that we don't keep it. He that keepeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Let's stand together as the Lord touches your heart. The piano's instruments are playing a song of invitation. And if you're not saved, I would invite you to come and trust Christ. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. Do you obey the Lord tonight in this matter of our missions conference? Give up your kids. Give up your money. Don't keep what you cannot save on your own. Give it up and let God give it back.